in Jesus' name this morning. My message is going to be directed to people other than youth, out of necessity, I guess. Really appreciated the service so far. Enjoyed the Sunday school and felt like it was a good discussion. I'm going to be talking about something. There's a verse that's been kind of going through my mind lately. It's actually just part of a verse. And it is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. This phrase is in that verse. It says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." And I guess this verse has been going through my mind, and I'm thinking, what is sanctification? And if it's God's will, then I guess it's something I should really care about. It's not too often that we have a direct answer to what is God's will for my life, like this verse answers. You know, so often we ask that question, what's God's will for my life? Well, here's an answer for it. But what is sanctification? You know, sometimes people get hung up on a doctrine, like, you know, they put a label on it, like sanctification, and they get hung up on the words and kind of miss what the Bible's saying, so I don't want to do that. But this word sanctify or sanctified or sanctification comes up often in the New Testament. And apparently it was a good description or a good word to describe what the apostles were trying to convey to the people that were reading their letters. And so I'd like to help myself and you to understand what sanctification is and why it's so important. The word sanctification in Greek is hagiasmos, which is the act of making holy, or the state or process of being made holy, are two of the definitions for it. And a third definition is a cleansing. The sanctification is about being set apart or being holy. This is a little quote from Charles Finney. He says that its simple and primary meaning is a state of consecration to God. To sanctify is to set apart to a holy use. And in our book of faith and practice, in our doctrinal statement, one of the points in that statement, I think it's number 13, I'm not sure, is that we believe in sanctification. And then it's broken down into two parts. There's positional sanctification and progressive sanctification. And so I'd like to talk about those two parts of sanctification, and also maybe mention that you could also break it down into two parts, God's part and man's part, I think. So just going back a little bit, to the Jews, sanctifiers or setting apart was a familiar idea to them. Way back in the Moses day, when Moses delivered the law to the Israelites, this word came up a lot. In the Old Testament, it was the Hebrew word kadash, which is to consecrate, separate, set apart. It's basically has the same meaning as the Greek word for sanctification. So this idea was familiar to the Jews. They knew what it meant, and they had to perform these ceremonies, and part of that included cleansing or setting themselves apart, and especially the priests had to do different things in that sense. So, for example, in the Old Testament, I'd like to read just a couple passages here quickly that talk about sanctification and how that God had asked the people to sanctify themselves. Exodus 19:10 and 11. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai." So God was going to reveal himself to the people of Israel, but first they had to sanctify themselves. They had to set themselves apart, and one of the things he mentioned specifically was washing their clothes. They had to be ceremonially clean, I think. And even here in the Old Testament, it talks about sanctification in two parts as being a part that we do and a part that God does. In Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." The very next verse says, "And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." So there's he alludes to two parts here, us sanctifying, the Israelites sanctifying themselves, and then also the Lord sanctifying them. So I'd like to turn to John chapter 17 and read a little bit here, about 20 verses out of John 17. This is the passage where Jesus prays for his disciples, and he mentions the word sanctification in here. I thought this was a beautiful passage, because this is Jesus praying to the Father for his disciples, but also he's praying for me, because it talks about the others that believe in him. And so that, to me, this is a beautiful prayer of Jesus interceding for me and to the Father for me. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me in the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So here's Jesus talking about his desire for his disciples. And one of the things he mentioned was being sanctified. And it talks in this passage a lot about being called out, being in the world, but not being of the world. You know, the disciples were chosen. They were set apart. They were different. But they were still in the world, yet they were not part of that world. So Jesus was talking not only to his disciples, but he was also talking to us. Now, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the two categories of sanctification that I mentioned earlier, positional and progressive. So, and these are my thoughts, and I'm not gonna claim that I know the answer to these things exactly. This is my view on it, but I may not get it exactly right. But positional sanctification is the beginning act of sanctification that happens to the Christian. It's not done by man. It's done only by God. When you repent and you believe in Christ, he performs a work of sanctification in your life. And here are some verses that would speak about that. Hebrews 10, verse 10, "By the which will we are sanctified," past tense, "through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Wherefore Jesus also," Hebrews 13, 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Hebrews 2, verse 10, "For it became him, for whom all things, whom are all things, and by whom are all things, for whom all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So this is an act of sanctification that changes our position before God. We went from being aligned with the world to being aligned with God. A week or so ago, we had this weird problem with one of our forklifts at Trust Tech. It was leaving tire marks on the pavement, and like the brakes were dragging. So we brought it in the shop, and we noticed that the tires on the back were especially badly worn. A lot of the tread had been scuffed off. So we raised it up on Jackson, but there didn't seem to be anything wrong with the brakes. And so we puzzled over that for a while, and then finally someone noticed that the tires were out of alignment. Tires were not properly aligned with each other, and so anytime the machine was going, it was resisting the movement of the machine and leaving rubber on the pavement. So once we lined the tires up, the resistance was gone, and the machine went freely in the direction that you wanted it to go. And in the same way, sanctification lines us up with God's will. It keeps us aligned with what he wants for our lives. Another form of this word, this Greek word, hagiasmos, is hagios, which is also used throughout the New Testament. And this word is translated saints. And many times in the New Testament, it speaks about the Christians as being saints. We are referred to as saints, and it's not because we're officially a saint by the decree of the church. You know, the Roman Catholics have a very defined and serious criteria that they use to determine whether someone deserves to be called a saint. But simply by repenting and believing and being cleansed by Christ, we are saints according to the New Testament. The Christian is sanctified in that sense. He's set apart. He is a new creature. He's a brother in Christ. And he's ready to do good works for the Lord. And he's ready for the second part of sanctification to begin. So the second part of sanctification is progressive sanctification. And this is the part that we are involved in today, those of us who are saved. It is a continuing action. This is the one where the rubber really meets the road. This is the practical side of sanctification, you might say. It has an effect on everything that we do, on all our thoughts and actions throughout every day of our life. Some people believe in a second work of grace, where at some point the Holy Spirit does a new work in a believer's life, and they are entirely sanctified at that point, and they can no longer sin. Now, I don't believe that, certainly not in my life. I can't testify to that, because I'm still living in this sinful body, and I still make mistakes, and I still need God's cleansing forgiveness in my life. And that's what sanctification is about. It's about growing more like Christ. It's about becoming more aligned with God's will. And this is the ongoing part of sanctification in our lives. And this is a part that we must be involved in if we're going to really see it happen. If it's really going to happen in our lives, we need to be involved in this process. Again, I'll quote from this verse I read at the very beginning, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." So there's our goal. Is being sanctified. And I don't think that God is, when we think about the will of God, I don't think he's so concerned about where we live or how much money we make or what our occupation is, but are we being sanctified daily? Is sanctification a part of our lives? Is he working in our lives? And are we allowing him to work in our lives to get closer and more like him? I think that's what his concern is for us today. There's a passage in Ephesians that talks about Christ sanctifying the church. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And this speaks, I think, of the ongoing process of sanctification in all of us, that he is working in us to make us more like him today, each day. So someday that he can present his church as a holy and pure church to himself. If you're like me, you don't really enjoy change all that much. Most change, anyway, it's upheaval, and I don't really enjoy it all that much. But as Christians, we have to learn to embrace change in our lives. We have to learn to look forward to the change that makes us more like Christ, that aligns us more with his holiness. Another illustration of sanctification could be like a wood carving. You know, a wood carver goes to make something. He finds a likely piece of wood, and he roughs it out. He takes his saw, probably a power saw or a hand saw, and he cuts it out real close, as close as he can to what he wants. But it's just a rough piece of wood. It's not nearly finished. That would be positional sanctification. We've been cut out of the world, we've been selected, and we're ready to be carved into something beautiful. Then progressive sanctification begins, and the woodcarver takes his chisels and he starts cutting. And as he gets closer to what he wants, he makes smaller and smaller cuts, putting all the details into this piece of wood. And if the wood has a soft grain, a soft straight grain, and doesn't have any knots in it, it's going to be a fairly straightforward, easy process for him. But if it's hard and knotty wood with a crooked grain in it, it's going to resist his efforts, and it's going to be hard for him to make exactly what he wants to make. So as we allow God to work in our lives, are we the pliable, straight-grained wood without knots, or are we the type that resists and we're hard to deal with, we're knotty, we're crooked, or do we help him? So that's one of our, I guess you could say, our goals in sanctification is to be that type of material that God can form. And sanctification isn't some lofty other world goal that, you know, that you have to think, well, that's something that that I don't want to be, you know, it's beyond this world. Jesus was the most sanctified man who ever lived, but he dealt with everyday events, everyday people, the poorest, the humblest people in the world. And yet he was the most sanctified person that ever walked on earth. So it's not a lofty, otherworldly goal. This is something very practical that we can use in our lives every day. I'd like to talk a little bit about the part that we play in sanctification because, you know, God, we know what God wants for us, and we can talk about what he wants for us, but really what matters is how am I going to respond to what he wants? Am I going to allow him to work his sanctification in me, or am I not? And how can I help work that sanctification in my heart? I thought this verse was interesting in Joshua 3, verse 5. It speaks to me today. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And, you know, if we are willing to allow God to work in us, if we sanctify ourselves and get ourselves ready for God's work, he will do wonders in our lives. But we need to be engaged and on board. We can't be apathetic and uncaring about this process of sanctification. I'm just going to read some passages here that speak about sanctification, maybe not in those terms, but an idea of sanctification and some of the things that we can think about doing in our lives to help this process. Starting with 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Ephesians 4:22-25, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So just looking quickly at the actions that are talked about in these passages, sanctify God in our hearts. Hold the Lord in your heart. Keep him close to you. Confess our sins. Put off whatever it is that is against the will of God, is not aligned with God. Put off the desires. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. So these are parts that we can do to help the Lord fulfill his process, or to complete his process of sanctification in our lives. You know, just the simple act of reading God's word and taking it in and acknowledging it is, I think, a path to sanctification. As we read God's word and know and understand what he loves, and we also love those things and act on those things, we are becoming sanctified. We are becoming more like him. On the other side, if your goals and your desires and joys are all found in the world, sanctification can't make any progress in your life. When our hearts are set on our job, our home, our possessions, our fads, the fashions, fun of the world, sanctification can't happen because we're not aligned with God. We're aligned with something other than God. Sanctification means that we are willing to let God completely rule in our lives. Whatever it is that we face, we are ready to put our life on the line because we are aligned with God's will. If he wants to do this with my life, I'm ready for him to do it, and I will go with him there. And that's a hard place to go, to allow God to do that, to give him that whole control. But that's really where we need to go. And this little story in the Old Testament kind of spoke to me in this way. If you remember, David, at one time in his life when he was the king, he numbered the people, took a census of all the people, which was directly against what God had commanded. God had commanded them not to number the people. God was supposed to be their reliance in battle was supposed to be on the Lord, not on the amount of people that they had. And I'd just like to read this, what David thought and said, and what God said after this happened. Immediately David was repentive about what happened. It says in 2 Samuel 24:10, and David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. David acknowledged his sin. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. This might not strike you like it did me, but, you know, what impressed me about this was that here's David faced with three different options for the punishment for his sin. And, you know, David could have weighed all the things in the balance and said, well, this is the easiest, so this is the best one. But finally, in the end, David said, you know, whether the Lord is blessing me or whether the Lord is punishing me, I want him to decide. I want him to be the one that's in charge. And so he basically gave it back to the Lord and said, you do what you want as far as punishment. I will accept it. And, you know, that's an amazing act of trust to me on David's part. When he sinned and God said, you're going to be punished, he said, I will take it. If it's coming from you, Lord, I'll take it, whatever it is, good or evil. even like Job said, you know, we can accept good and we can accept evil from the Lord. Either one. We can accept the blessings he gives us, or we can accept the bad things that happen to us. Can we accept both of those from the Lord? That is another path in sanctification. So sanctification basically means we want the will of God worked out in our lives, and we're ready to stand up and help him do it. I wanted to just read, in closing, a song that really speaks about this very thing that we sing. This is a very familiar song, but I really was thinking about this as I did this sermon, how these words really speak to this very thought of sanctification. This is the same writer of the song as the last song that we sang that Aaron read. It says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let me be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee." So my challenge for you and for me today is, are we progressing on this road of sanctification? Are we helping? Are we doing what we can to help the Lord work his work of sanctification in our lives? That's all I have. I'll leave it open for